Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, Ewan Spence here. Another All About Windows Phone Insight podcast. Welcome to the 30 minutes that will let you know everything that's been happening in the world of Windows Phone that we think is important. This is curation at its finest. This is commentary with a sharp edge. And this is basically four chums all getting around a microphone talking about some of our favourite stuff in the world. And Windows Phone as well. So, joining me, as always on the podcast, first of all, we have Rafe Blanford.
Hello, everybody. Great to be here and thanks for listening.
We also have David Gilson.
Hello, yes, I'm here and thank you for listening to the rest of them.
And Steve Litchfield.
My favourite stuff in the world. How long have you got? Hello, everyone.
Well, this isn't a Scion podcast, money in the tin, so not too long, Steve, okay?
Okay, well, I do have a few other interests, but we'll get to those later on.
Okay, fair enough then. And if you'd like to make a best guess at what those other interests would be, Hawkwind, then you can get in touch with us either leaving a comment back at the website, www.allaboutwindowsphone.com, or dropping us an email at the team. We know what Steve's up to at allaboutwindowsphone.com will do for this week.
Get on with it.
Get on with it. Yeah, just as the phone rings in the background. That's fine. Let's start with release dates. Let's start with phones in the background as well, because we all know that they've been coming. They were announced at CES, and we finally have release dates for the two big handsets on AT&T in America. HTC Titan 2 on April the 8th, Nokia Lumia 900 on April the 8th. Rafe, head-to-head, I thought we would have had a bit of separation between these two devices to give them both a clear run at the public.
Well, I think that's down to AT&T. They want to make a big splash with Windows Phone. But yes, April the 8th is going to be a very exciting day. Not only is the Easter Bunny visiting, we're getting two new Windows Phone handsets on the US operator AT&T. And the details of this are the pricing that we're interested in. And the Titan 2 is going to be $199. That's with a two-year contract. And as usual for the States, that contract's going to be a minimum of $60. Probably for most people, it'll be $70 by the time you've taken in the extra charges into account. The reason we concentrate on the initial price is because the vast majority of smartphones all are on that same minimum contract. It's not like the UK and the rest of the world, where quite often you have high-tier smartphone contracts and you get that device for free, and then you get a low-tier smartphone contract that's, say, £15. And for something like the Nokia 710, say, you can often get that on a £15, £20 contract for free, whereas you won't get something like the Lumia 800 on quite the same thing. You'll be having to pay £25 or more. But I think the big news really is the Lumia 900, at least initially, and there were some words in the press release about special introductory price, it's going to be available at $99. So that undercuts the Titan 2, and there's been quite a bit of fuss about the fact that is anyone actually going to buy the Titan 2? We'll come back to that in a minute. But I think more to the point, that's a pretty disruptive price for a high-end smartphone in the States. That's, you know, undercutting the launch price of things like the Galaxy S2 and obviously the iPhone 4S as well. The total cost of ownership doesn't vary that much, but as I say, that initial price really grabs a lot of attention. You know, partly human psychology and partly so saying those contract prices are the same. But it's obviously a big day for Nokia as well, because this is their re-entry in a big way into the US smartphone market. Yes, we've had the 710 before, but this is in the high end. They're going to get a lot of operator support about this. There's a lot of buzz around this device, you know, the best device at CES. It just seems to be picking up quite a bit of momentum, and we know there's going to be a really big advertising campaign around this. So I think it's going to be quite exciting to see what happens, and I know a lot of our US audience are sort of already thinking, yes, that's the device I want to get.
Two questions that I have for you. The first is the interesting one, that there is going to be a white version of this handset, but not available until April the 22nd. So will that dull the initial sales figures? And the second one is, if you were HTC, are you happy that you're almost being perceived as the tag along, or are you glad that you get to ride the roller coaster of the marketing and hope for that trickle through effect? Rafe, come to you first. Take either of those ones.
Well, I think the color one, some people are going to want to wait for the white one, but I think a lot of people are going to go black or cyan because they'll want to get it straight away. I suspect that's just about production cycles and things like that, not getting quite ready in time perhaps. But also you could be slightly cynical and say, actually, having the white one come out, what will effectively be sort of 3 weeks, or I guess 2 weeks after the big launch, they'll create a second bubble of excitement. I'm sure more people will write about it. Personally, I'd like a cyan one. The white one has a gloss finish as opposed to matte, so it's not to my preference, but to each their own. In terms of the HTC or the Lumia 900 versus Titan 2 thing and the Nokia versus HTC, I think you can probably play too much into this. I mean, the real competition for both of these handsets is not each other. It's the Android handsets and iOS. And of course, people want to put them up against each other. In some ways, they're quite different devices. That extra 0.4 inches on the screen, I think it's 4.3 on the 900 and 4.7 on the Titan 2, almost puts them into a different category of devices. The rest of their specifications are very similar. And if I'm honest, if I was given the choice, even if they were the same price, I'd probably still choose the Lumia 900 because I prefer the design. And I think the software bundle that comes with it is more desirable, sort of giving better value for money. But that pricing really does is kind of the final thing. But for HTC, they're probably getting a handset launched in a way that wouldn't happen if Nokia weren't there. So the halo effect that they will benefit from will be considerable. And I think that will probably outweigh any disadvantage to being a tag along. And that's because, you know, HTC is an established smartphone brand in the States. There are a lot of people that are loyal to that brand that like those devices. And so we'll go out and buy the Titan 2. And more than that, you know, phone design is very subjective. Some people will walk into the store having seen the Windows Phone promotion, either from Nokia or from Microsoft, and maybe HTC will be doing some as well, and they'll take a look at the Lumia 900 and say, no, that's not quite for me. And then they'll see the Titan 2 and they'll go, yes, that's the device I really like. Or if you're really into cameras, it looks like, and we haven't been able to see the review units yet, so this is sort of an early call, it looks like the Titan 2 camera is going to be superior to the Lumia 900 based on what we've seen in the sort of the Titan versus 800 battle. And actually the Titan 2 I think steps that up a notch, so there are reasons to choose the Titan 2. So I don't think HTC will be too displeased. They always knew with Nokia coming in and going full bore that it was going to change the market dynamics, but I actually think it's to their benefit rather than to their detriment.
Yeah, AT&C have said, Rafe, that they're going for an all-out, you know, bigger than ever promotional push this Easter with the devices. And if you can have two devices for the, you know, for the price of one, as it were, if you can have a double-headed blow to the market, then why not? And I do agree with you that the two devices, the HTC Titan 2 and the Nokia Lumia 900, do have very different flavors. Not only have you got slightly different feel in the hand, one's the polycarbonate, you know, unibody, one's more sort of typical HTC plastic and metal composite. On the other end, you've got the camera differences. You've got the HTC application suite, which is now quite extensive and even includes in the latest locations, I gather, an element of offline maps and also voice navigation, although you do have to pay a bit for it, against Nokia's own application suite, including the free drive, the maps and so forth. Each has about a dozen applications, very different from the other, and you really can look at both and then take your choice. And as terms of colour, Ewan, I think I'd probably go for black. I still reckon that the other colours are a bit of a gimmick, and white, of course, will get dirty, so black for me.
So we will keep a close eye on that. Hopefully we'll have some review handsets kicking up as well. What difference does the extra screen size make, the LTE and 4G and everything, we'll be picking up through. Keep an eye on the website for that. Not the only handsets that have been announced this week, especially from Nokia. The 800C and a tiny trail of the 610C as well over in China. For the CDMA device launch that we have there. Rafe, again, it's a big market, bigger than America, possibly just in terms of unit sales, if not in terms of media coverage.
Yes, I mean, it's bigger in terms of unit sales and bigger in terms of growth. In terms of the market value, there are other markets that are still a bit bigger than China, but I think it's the potential that people talk about, particularly for China. So this is really a follow-on from the topic we were talking about last week, where Windows Phone was launching in China and we had the HTC device and the ZTE device there. And Nokia have kind of followed this up with an announcement about some CDMA handsets for the China market. And yes, it's the 800C and the 610C, and they've announced these kind of in conjunction with China Telecom, and the 800C is going to be exclusive for a month to China Telecom, which is one of the big three operators out in China, and actually uses CDMA as opposed to WCDMA or LTE technology. That's kind of significant because this is the first CDMA handset from Nokia for the Windows Phone, and actually it's their first CDMA handset in terms of smartphones for ever, I think, or at least for a very long time. They looked at it in the Symbian era, but never got quite round to doing it. So this is opening up quite a big new market for them. I mean, the other details from that launch that I think are worth talking about are the fact they said there's now 20,000 applications in the Chinese version of the marketplace. That's growing all the time. And Nokia have also done some deals with various companies to get some exclusive content onto their devices. There's QQ Game Hall, which is kind of a stand-in for the Xbox Live service, although some of those Xbox Live games are still available. They just don't have the kind of achievements and the social bit in China. There's also lots of different applications from various service providers that are going in. They haven't yet got the sort of integration into People Hub crack. You know, that seems to be as if it's going to be coming in time. In terms of the pricing for the 800T, it's kind of interesting. It's 3,600 RMB. That's about £360. So that's, I think, pretty competitive for a smartphone. And in China, that's noticeably better than something like the iPhone 4S, which, of course, has recently launched as well. Nokia are also doing all their service bits, if you like. So things like Nokia Maps, that's all going to be set up ready for China with Chinese language. And also some Chinese content providers are stepping in. So the points of information are going to be pretty comprehensive there. But the one that kind of caught my eye most of all was Nokia Music. Yes, you're going to get the music mixer, that kind of streaming radio functionality. But in terms of the music store, you're actually going to get unlimited free downloading of DRM-free music for 12 months. So that's a pretty attractive proposition. I mean, Nokia have always said with their music strategy, they tailor it for each market. And they're doing this in China because there's a lot of music piracy. And so this is the only way to kind of gain some traction. They've actually done this before with their Comes With Music service, which they had on some of the Symbian devices in China. But this kind of stands out as a pretty good offering. And I think particularly when you then compare it with some of the other smartphones available, it's kind of a complete package because you've got the drive stuff, you've got the music offering, you've got the apps. And so I think it could do pretty well. And obviously Stephen Elop was over there for the launch along with Wang Jingqiu, the chairman of China Telecom, who were both saying positive things about it. The significance of that really is to have an operator sign on and really push it, and they're going to be putting it into their stores as kind of a youth branded store, as well as all the other leading electronic retailers in China. That's important to kind of get the China market. In terms of China, it's kind of a unique as a market in that there's both a kind of unlocked market, you know, an open distribution channel, if you will, and then this operator distribution channel. Sometimes there are subsidies involved, sometimes not. But in order to get the sort of the maximum sales potential, you really need to do both of those, and you really do need to partner with an operator. And it was notable that the HTC Eternity last week was an open market handset. It wasn't being partnered with an operator. So I think Nokia is very much going to be leading the Windows Phone charge into the China market. You mentioned the 610C. Yes, that kind of got trailed very briefly. We haven't got details on when that will be available or pricing. It's just going to be later in Q2. But again, it was the same emphasis as MWC. This is a more affordable handset aimed at the youth market, sort of opening up the Windows Phone market to more people. So I think all in all, the Nokia launch has been pretty significant. It's going to be really interesting to see how they do. We'll have to look at the sales figures in a couple of quarters' time. But as you said right at the beginning, yes, China is a really big smartphone market. And if Microsoft are to be successful with Windows Phone, and if Nokia to be successful with Windows Phone, they need to get the China market going as speedily as possible.
Because let's face it, when it comes to spending and earning money, Chinese money is as good as American money, is as good as British money. We're not quite sure about the euro yet, but income is still income, especially for the large conglomerate companies that you have coming through as well.
That's right.
We've got a whole bundle of Nokia stuff coming up as well in the news. I'm just looking ahead. We've got two or three more for them. But Steve, because I know you're really good at all the physics stuff and everything, the wonderful, mythical battery-boosting firmware, tripling your battery power coming out of your Nokia Lumia 800. Have the Finns discovered a way to break the laws of physics here?
No.
Okay,
I guess you're the long answer.
Okay, let's go for a slightly longer one then.
Okay, well, the thing about tripling your battery life was obviously completely wrong. Under ideal, optimum carefully controlled circumstances, you might be able to triple your battery life by not using it at all, basically because they've made big improvements to the idle current, the standby current, the current the OS is using when the phone's not actually being used. But of course, we actually like using our phones, which is fair enough. In reality, you'll probably see an extra 20 or 30%. There are two factors here. One is this reduction in the standby current, which is basically brought about by optimizations under the hood in terms of how the operating system runs, how many processes run, when they run, how they control the applications. The second thing, of course, is that the actual physics of batteries itself is actually very hard. Batteries don't discharge in a nice linear straight line, so you can't just measure the voltage. They discharge in a curve. You've got all sorts of complications to do with the physics of lithium-ion batteries. And basically, that's why the battery meters on many of our smartphones going back over the last decade have been so inaccurate, because it's actually very, very hard to get that right. All you're really ever seeing is an estimate. Now, our Nokia here obviously have noticed some bugs and some inaccuracies in the way that the OS was handling and managing the battery in the Lumia 800 from day one, and they thought, we can do it better. It's shutting the charge from fast charge down to the trickle charge too soon. That kind of optimization, and they've basically been twiddling with that, and now reckon that we can actually use the full capacity of our Lumia 800 batteries sealed. There they are, which is another rant for another day, but we can now manage more of that capacity and manage it better. So add that into the lower standby current, and the upshot is you should be seeing another 10 or 20%, maybe 30% extra battery life on your Lumia, though I can't vouch for that because mine is still showing a question mark icon even after the update. Nokia, pull your socks up. I'm not the only one. This bug is just horrifically inconvenient. I cannot tell what my battery state is on my Lumia. Please fix it.
It's probably worth pointing out here that we're talking about a software update that has been issued for the Lumia 800. The full number of it is 1600.2487.8107.12070. But all Bingo. You really need to know is that this is the third update for the Lumia 800. It's now rolling out globally. It has been available in a couple of markets before, but this is actually the first chance we've had a chance to get our hands on it officially. It's going to take about 4 weeks to roll out to all the other markets. It's the usual thing with operator certification and some delays of getting it into the Zune system to process it all. But in terms of unlocked devices, that's now pretty widely available, and it's also available on some operators. Nokia have actually set up a website. You can see the link in our story about this, where you can go and check out whether the update is available for you or not. As well as the battery updates that Steve was talking about, there's a few other significant updates. The audio equalizer has been tweaked, particularly to improve kind of bass responsiveness. So you'll get better audio when listening on headphones in particular. The camera application has been tweaked, so there's two things there, one of which is by default it's now on normal mode, not on macro mode. That's good because you should be able to get faster autofocusing when taking photographs. The reason for doing this originally was apparently to enable easier QR code scanning in the Bing Vision application or in the search application. I always thought that was a bit short-sighted given the relative balance between the use cases, but be aware of that if you do regularly scan QR codes, although having said that, I scan them fine when it's set to normal mode. There's also some fixes for white balance issues that some people have had with the Lumia 800 camera. I know Steve's very happy about that, as you can probably hear.
Well, I was the one who had all the original problems in the Lumia 800 review coverage. There was this photo I did of a green leaf which came out blue and yellow in two alternate takes, and only I had to fiddle with the software to actually get it to come out green, which is rather a disappointment. So I'm sure they fixed that, and that's a big, big hurrah from me.
So for the record, it is Steve's handset has all the stuff that they weren't quite sure about. So all the question marks and the battery indicators, the problems with the color balance, the inability to replicate 70s prog rock perfectly through the MP3 player. It's all on Steve's phone.
It just means that I'm very good at breaking stuff, Ewan.
We always get Steve to test things because he can break things within 30 seconds. Other fixes, the capacitive buttons weren't lighting up at all screen brightness level. That's fixed. And when the screen was unresponsive after ending a call, not everyone was getting these, but that's fixed as well. And similarly, spontaneous reboots in certain network conditions. So a whole load of bug fixes. But the big one really is the battery lifetime. Steve talked about the standby charge. There's also been improvements to things like 3G talk time, Wi-Fi browsing time and playback time. These are all really quite low-level stuff in terms of its hardware integration. So Nokia's been working particularly with Qualcomm on this kind of thing. And it can be tweaking the hardware settings and the drivers at quite low levels. So, for example, in Wi-Fi, it can be about turning off and on the radio very quickly to optimize the power efficiency of those things. And so this is a pretty significant battery upgrade, more so than the previous ones. I've only been using this for a very brief period of time, but certainly just looking at the battery time remaining stats, it does seem to have introduced about a 25% boost. So I'd certainly recommend that everybody download this update. Nokia sort of said in their press release about this, or their press coverage, that they now believe the Lumia 800 is best in class for the battery capacity, and it's a kind of category of device. And actually, I think that's probably getting quite close to being true. Certainly, it's outdoing your average Android device. And obviously, this all depends on how you use it and battery capacity. And it seems to be matching up with the iPhone for a lot of people as well. There are still things you can do to optimize battery life. It's like any smartphone. It depends how you use it. The obvious culprit is things that are doing things in the background, so sometimes live tiles. It's worth checking for those. We will have an article on sort of making your phone as power efficient as possible. But I'm very glad to see this update come along. To me, it does suggest that the original Lumia devices were kind of rushed developed. That's not really a surprise, given the February announcement and then their October release of these devices. So everything happened in 8 months. But also speaks towards the fact that Nokia is trying to go the extra mile to get these things optimized as much as possible. If you want to download this, you do it through Zoom Desktop on the PC or Windows Phone Connector on the Mac. You can't do it directly on the device. That's a limitation of the Windows Phone platform, which we hope will be removed in a future version. But there you go. Now,
I seem to recall, right, that the ability to do an over-the-air download is there, but they're holding it back in cases like a critical bug fix, or there's something that just needs to be forced out for management reasons. Everything goes through the desktop at the moment. Am I imagining that or something?
I think you might be imagining that for the time being. There are some things that can be revoked in terms of device management, I believe, around applications, but I don't think specific to updates. I'd have to go and check on this, but I do know that improvements in software updates is one of the things that Nokia's kind of made noises about in terms of things they want for the next version of the platform. So I would fully expect firmware over the air to be one of the priorities for a future version of Windows Phone.
Indeed. So we all have our homework, although knowing our readers that are listening to this, they've probably already answered it in the comments, which you can do back at the website or directly from inside the All About Windows Phone application. Just press the little speech bubble when you're listening to a podcast through our app. And you can leave a comment directly, and that comes through the post on all the website and everything else. A wonderful bit of code that was coded with the Windows Phone SDK. The good news is you can do that as well. Windows Phone SDK is now in a final build situation for, oh, David, what's the version number?
7.1.1.
Well done, you've picked up the ball, you can run with it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, this isn't really a great introduction of new features or anything. It's mainly a maintenance release, although there are some new things. What has been updated, there is language support for the various Malayan, Indonesian being added, for example, and also the Microsoft Advertising SDK has been updated to improve some runtime issues. However, I don't think that'll address what we were hearing in the news last week. The main thing is the 512 megabyte device image has been updated to the latest build, and they have included in a new emulator image for 256 megabyte RAM devices, so the platform previously known as Tango. In addition to supporting the lower RAM models like the Nokia 610, you can also specify whether your application will work on 512 megabyte devices or 256 megabyte devices in the device manifest file. And also there is a little point on the Microsoft developer blog about this, that if you really, really want to, you can run it in the Windows 8 consumer preview, although it's not officially supported, and you will see a performance degradation.
You can head over that. It is a free download. We'll have the links back on the website as always. Staying with the developer story, I think, for the moment, Rafe. Finnish university students have got a little bit of an app incubator coming over, both from Nokia again and from Microsoft, I understand.
Yes, that's right, Ewan. It's a reference to App Campus, I believe, based out of Aalto University in Finland, where Microsoft and Nokia have agreed to invest up to 18 million euros over the next 3 years to kind of create a app incubator, or it can actually be for any mobile startup, and it's not just restricted to students. This is kind of a center where any mobile entrepreneur can go and get support, business advice, training, potentially seed money as well, access to facilities to be able to get technical support and training. I think it's interesting because it's kind of the equivalent to some of the other funds we've seen set up for applications by Google, by Apple, for example, the well-known iFund, though not perhaps quite on that same $100 million level. But this is the kind of thing that Microsoft and Nokia are going to need to do if they're to kind of encourage developers onto the Windows Phone platform. It's actually also going to be for other Nokia platforms like Series 40 and Symbian as well. But I suspect a lot of the focus will go on Windows Phone, given it's the high-end devices. Also, university already have kind of a reputation for doing this kind of thing for kickstarting businesses through its Center for Entrepreneurship, which is, so as I said, yes, there's going to be great benefits to the students at the university, and I suspect we'll see, you know, quite a few of the companies come out of student projects and things like that, but it is open to anyone, anywhere. It's not just in Finland. So it's absolutely a necessary part of Nokia and Microsoft's strategy about building an ecosystem around the Windows Phone platform. And you know, this is a significant investment to encourage further mobile startups and apps for the Windows Phone platform.
And the developer story is quite a fragile one. Rafe, Steve, I'll probably get you, David as well, your thoughts very briefly. On the whole Angry Birds thing last week, Angry Birds Space was announced, and then one part of Rovio said, we're not doing it on Windows Phone because it's too hard and it costs us too much money. Then another bit says, oh, no, we are going to be doing it on Windows Phone. And then Nokia said, oh, it's definitely coming out for our devices again. I mean, Rafe, I'll come to you for the technical details, and Steve, then I'll maybe come to you for the sort of impact that has on the developers thing. But Rafe, it's not as easy to port something like Angry Birds Space. Why did Rovio initially decide not to do it? Is there an obvious reason?
Well, I'm not sure whether they ever decided not to do it, but it was more a decision not to do it as a launch platform. I think there's really two reasons you can talk about there. One is just the size of the addressable market. It's sort of around 10 million devices. Okay, that's increasing all the time, but it's quite small next to Android and iOS. There's no getting away from that. The second one is technical. I mean, they spoke about how it would cost more and they'd have to start from scratch. Without getting too far into the technical details, the reason for that is you can maybe look at initially at OpenGL, and that's something that isn't supported on the Windows Phone platform, and that's how Angry Birds do a lot of the graphics components. But ultimately, Angry Birds isn't that complicated graphically, so I don't really see that as a major issue. Probably a bigger one is that, you know, all developers, when they're doing cross-platform games and development, they tend to have their own libraries of C or C++ code, which they will then reuse between platforms. That's very difficult to do on Windows Phone because there isn't support for that kind of native code. It all has to be what's referred to as managed code. And so reusing existing assets is more difficult, hence the idea that you have to do things from scratch. And so that's why this, the cost of porting will be bigger than, say, going from Android to iOS. This is a problem that Microsoft is well aware of. They've actually been debates about what they're going to do in terms of native code support in the next version. I'm pretty sure we're going to see something that allows these kind of cross-platform libraries. The reason they haven't done it to this point is it's really about managing the user experience. They say that by having just managed code, they can control the resources required by the platform, you know, battery life, all those kind of things. And honestly, it's probably true, but it has been a particular handicap for developers. I mean, it's not that you can't do cross-platform on Windows Phone. You just have to think about it from early on in the development life cycle or the development story. And of course, a lot of these applications already exist on other platforms. You know, they were thought about before Windows Phone even sort of, you know, existed, if you like, or they weren't bothered about it at the time. So that's where the kind of the technical dimension of this comes from.
And Steve, I mean, it briefly threatened to derail all the good intentions that had been built up around Windows Phone and application development, and even the perception that Windows Phone could run applications. This is still a little bit of a festering wound, isn't it?
I don't think it is. This is going to sound controversial, but I think Angry Birds, there are so many levels and so many different versions out there. The only real people who know about Angry Birds Space are the ultra geeks who have already got 5 Android phones, 2 Symbian phones in a drawer, and an iPhone. And I think this whole thing is a storm in a teacup. I don't think the man in the street has any inkling whatsoever that Angry Birds Space even existed, let alone that it was not available for the Lumia or HTC Windows phone they're going to buy in a high street shop.
I'm not sure I entirely agree with Steve there. I mean, I think a lot of people were anticipating Angry Birds Space. It has had 10 million downloads in the first 3 days.
From the geeks.
Well, that's true. But what I would say is I don't think the success of any one platform is dictated by the absence or the presence of just one app. So I don't think the idea that Rovio's Angry Birds Space not being on Windows Phone suddenly doomed the platform. But I think actually the bigger issue around this was the perception it would then create. And in one sense, this is still here, given that it's not arrived at launch. It's going to be coming at some future date. It's other developers will look at Rovio, because they are kind of a poster child for success in the mobile space, and say, well, if they're not prioritizing Windows Phone, why should we? And so it's a perception issue in the knock-on effect it has, rather than the presence or absence of the game to consumers, that to my mind was maybe the bigger issue. But obviously, by saying it is coming, they've kind of fixed that problem for the most part. I mean, there is maybe still a bit of an argument to be made here. I mean, given the way all this went down, I do wonder whether someone from Nokia crossed the road, because what people might not know is actually the ESPU HQ of Nokia is just across the road from the ESPU HQ of Rovio. You do have to cross over a dual carriageway, take your life in your hands. But I reckon someone may well have popped over and said, oi guys, you know, what's going on here? You know, we've worked with you for a long time, and Nokia in particular supported Rovio over many years, long before they became famous. Rovio was actually responsible for some of the bounce games, which some people may remember. So I suspect they went over the road and said, yeah, would like a statement saying you really do like Windows Phone, and then everything will be hunky-dory. So it was some pretty neat footwork by, and I suspect it was Nokia rather than Microsoft. You know, people talking about maybe Microsoft's written a check, but I don't think it would necessarily be that simple. I suspect Rovio, given the scale that there are, wouldn't be that motivated by a check signing. They'd probably be more interested in co-marketing or something like that. We'll never know the details, of course. But yes, I do agree with Steve. It was really a bit of a storm in a teacup, this.
Yeah, it was rather. And we are, unusually for us, within the realms of speculation at this point. And another version that you could spin on this is that it could just be, from a PR point of view, the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing within Rovio. Because... And also, this reminds me of something that happened a while before the Nokia announcement, the Nokia partnership with Windows Phone, because Microsoft had used an image of Angry Birds implying that Angry Birds would be on Windows Phone, and Rovio came out and said, we're not doing a Windows Phone version of Angry Birds. But they did eventually, and why wouldn't they? I mean, it may be a very small platform, but the money of Windows Phone users is as good as anyone else's.
What's to talk about there? We'll keep an eye on the Angry Birds situation, applications as a whole. I mean, we're approaching 80,000 applications now on Windows Phone that have been published on the various markets. All of that and more throughout the days, weeks, months, years, perhaps even decades. When you look at the length of time XP has been around, I don't think we'll manage that much, but we'll get close to it at www.allaboutwindowsphone.com. Close off the podcast. Traditional will be maintained, I have to say. Application of the week returns after last week's application of the fortnight. What have we been using over the last week? What have we just got that we're looking forward to doing as we go forward? Steve, I'm going to come to you first, simply because I'm not quite sure how to pronounce this one. It does look like it's Swedish for bookmark.
Indeed, Krynk. C-H-R-Y-N-C. Basically, it's a contraction of Chrome Sync. As it sounds, it basically syncs all your Chrome bookmarks. This is your Chrome browser on your Mac or Windows or Linux computer. As long as you're signed into Chrome in the browser, i.e. signed into your Google account, it syncs all your bookmarks and your recently opened pages, and even your browser tabs all get synced down to your Windows Phone. Now, it's not as easy as just syncing into Internet Explorer on the phone. That would be far too easy. But this is the next best thing. It basically gives you access to every single one of those URLs in a really easy Metro UI layout. You just swipe around, say, oh, yes, that's the tab I was just looking at on my desktop, tap, and then it's opened in Internet Explorer on the phone. It's basically shareware in the sense that it's fully working. If you want to get rid of the odd nag screen, you can buy it for about £1 or so. Very worthwhile. If you're a big Chrome user like myself, then it's absolutely invaluable. You think, okay, I've got 5 billion tabs and bookmarks all set up on the desktop, and you hit your phone away on a trip, and oh, what was that URL again? And you're spend half an hour trying to find it. Here you are, every single one of your bookmarks, ready to go. Top quality, can't recommend it enough. Krynk.
There we go. Also, I'll just flag up there, you have Opera Link as well, which is a similar job in terms of bookmark syncs with that you synced with your Opera, my.opera account. David, what do you have lined up on the right-hand side of your home screen this week?
I have something called Sleep Timer, which if you have trouble managing your sleep patterns, this is a really handy little package, which because there's something that probably not a lot of people know, that your REM sleep cycles go in cycles of about 90 minutes. So it does two things. You can either give it a target time that you want to get up by, and you have to tell it roughly how long it takes you to drift off to sleep as well, and it calculates from that what time you should go to bed. But also, if you just look up right, well, I'm going to bed now, and it takes me about 25 minutes to doze off to sleep, it'll tell you like what time to set your alarms for the intervals of sleep to coincide with your REM cycles. So it, the only thing it can't do, I wish you could just tap on the times and it would send them into the alarm application and set the alarm for you, but you have to set the alarm yourself. But I found this very handy, and it does actually work, because I can sleep through alarms. There has not been an alarm clock made that I cannot sleep through, although no one has sent me a clocky yet. But this is actually making me wake up to my Lumia.
So subtle there for the manufacturers of that strange gizmo that David just mentioned. For me, I'm going to pick up one that's just come out. Ice Stunt 2's come out as one of the Xbox Live games. We'll be giving it a full review on All About Windows Phone next week. But having played with the Symbian version, this is a sort of snowboarding game where you balance your finger by literally tilting your phone, and then you can hold on to either side of the snowboard when you're in a jump by holding down on the either side of the screen. And it's a lovely little platformer that's not a platformer, that's a bit of a racing game, that's a bit Tony Hawk, all in a lovely 2D environment. And yes, okay, it's a conversion, and it's been out on other platforms for a while, but it's one that I'm really glad to see on Windows Phone, simply because I want to keep playing it. Simple as that. So Ice Stunt 2 is my recommendation for this week. And we'll finish up with Rafe. What do you have on this week's application list?
My application is On This Day, and this is, as it sounds like, it's like those sort of word-a-day calendars, or those event calendars that tells you what happened on this day in history. And it's actually based on the Wikipedia page that is sort of on this day. So it's birthdays, deaths, and sort of famous events. It's been done nicely. And there's a live tile, so you can pin it to your start screen, and that means you can see very easily what happened on this day. So it was a nice addition for me to my start screen, so it's a free download from the marketplace and recommended from me.
And as always, it's a good example of using a live tile, just that sort of look down, oh, that's quite nice, and look away again. That's the sort of thing that if it's an app, just an application that some people might not go into, the fact that it's on live tile, you pop it as you go through, that's the glance and go. That's what makes Windows Phone special. That's, you know, sometimes why I just really like these really basic live tile info stuff like that. Links to all of those applications can be found if you're using the All About Windows Phone application in the link section. If not, back on the website, you get a link right into the app directory. You also might remember last week we talked about the Nokia Conversations March Madness App Challenge. Just like to say thank you all to everybody who is participating in that. 32 applications selected by Nokia, slowly whittling them out through a knockout contest to eventually crown probably 4th and Mayor the winner. All About Windows Phone's application is actually still in the running at the moment of us recording this podcast. So if you want to show your support for ourselves, head over to the Nokia Conversations website and cast a vote for us. And if you see other applications there that you like better than us, then be honest, vote for them as well. All remains for you now to say thank you to my cohorts, my partners in crime, Rafe Blanford.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
David Gilson.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Steve Litchfield.
Goodbye for now. I'm just off to vote for our app.
Hey, myself, Ewan Spence. Thank you all out there for listening, reading, and supporting the site. We shall catch you next week. Until then, stay safe, find somebody you love, and give them a hug. See you soon.